I'll start with a question. Hopefully it's an easy one. Have you ever had a simply bad day? Overwhelming, maybe not as planned, downright dreadful, filled with stress. I think most of us had, or if you're anything like me, I certainly have. And it's sometimes our responses to whatever it is going on, making the bad day, that can push it to go one way or the other, that can make it get better or make it get worse. And I'm going to rewind for me to the start of this week. So back on Monday. Monday afternoon, I actually passed John Pletcher out behind our offices near the gym and kitchen. And John cheerfully asked me, "How's it going after the weekend? What'd you do this weekend?" My response, "This was the Mondayest Monday I've had in a very long time." My day started off with an appointment that, if I'm honest, I really didn't want to go to in the first place. The appointment itself, it didn't really go as I had hoped, nor as one of my children had hoped. And we were told that the issue that was being addressed probably wasn't going to be resolved very quickly, nor did many of the interactions that we had surrounding that appointment feel super pleasant. We're riding back to school and get a call from another school nurse from one of my other children saying that someone needed to be picked up from school because they didn't feel well. Go and pick that child up, stop here to grab my computer, head home, fire up my laptop, and truly in the very first email that I was starting to respond to, I get a ding of an email from a third school nurse saying that another one of the kids had an issue that was going to require follow-up, and I promise I'm not making this up. So, lots of things going on, and as the day coursed along, I could feel the level of stress starting to climb, frustration going higher, my joy coming down, and my peace plummeting. And all the while, I kept saying, "Why, God, why today? I'm supposed to be writing a sermon on holiness." Again, I'm not making this up. And then I started to pray a little bit. It's what I try to do when I start to feel overwhelmed or a little bit out of control or a lot out of control. And trying to figure out, what could this mean? What am I being called to learn? Because I was supposed to be doing my actual work, studying holiness. So what was I being called to learn? I had lots of choices back on Monday, as we all do every day, about the way that we could respond to what's going on inside of us, what's going on outside of us, how we respond to the people that are on our path. Honestly, by about 2 o'clock, I was ready to just have a temper tantrum. It was really the Mondayest Monday I have had in a very long time. But even still, as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to behave accordingly, even on a very Monday Monday. I had to choose. I had to respond to what was going on. I could continue to worry and stress. I could be snide to the people I was going to need to interact with because of the strain that I was feeling. I could pray over it. I can surrender it and acknowledge that I'm not in control. I've spoken those words already again this morning, that I am not in control. I can still strive to be Christ-like, even when I wanted to absolutely melt down. I could lose my patience, I could release my tongue, because sometimes that's really tempting on those kinds of days. But yet, even on my very Mondayest Monday in quite some time, I could also still choose to seek holiness. I knew I had a choice, and the apparent irony of me having the day that I had while I was blocked out time on my schedule to teach on holiness, it kind of started to stand out a little bit. And I was diving in, what exactly is holiness? How do we work towards holiness in our journey to become more like Christ? What does holiness look like in our everyday lives, and especially on those very Monday-ish Mondays, when it feels a little bit further from holiness? Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We've actually sang those words just a few minutes ago. We know that God is holy. Holiness in the scriptures means to be set apart, blameless, without sin. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is not common. He is not ordinary. The Lord is always just. He's always merciful, truthful. The Lord is fair and perfect in all his ways, even when we don't understand or we feel out of control. The Lord God is set apart. He's exalted above all others. And it's his perfection that stands in contrast to us as humans. It's important to understand that because God is without sin, God is perfect, God is without sin, he alone is able to help us with ours. He stands alone in his perfection, and his holy nature, it acts like a sort of yardstick for our own morality, our own choices, our own way of living. We can be encouraged, and we can and should be assured that he's in control of everything. He's in control of my Mondayest Monday. He's in control of my life, the universe. He's in control of it all. No one is holy like God. No one is holy like God, and yet we are called to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 say, obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chooses you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. Personalize that. You must be holy because I am holy, says the Lord. So we are indeed called to be holy. As believers, we're expected to work to imitate his ways to the very best of our imperfect human ability. And as we strive towards holiness, we're to be dedicated to the Lord. It's what sets us apart from others. Our dedication and our imitation of his perfect ways, it helps us to stay salty. It helps us to be the light of the world. But I want to stop here and address something that I suspect might be running through at least someone's mind this morning. It's really common in the Christian community. And in his book, Be You, Do Good, author Jonathan David Golden says this, I'm not holy enough. I'm not holy enough. This is a lie that Christians in particular tell ourselves. It's an odd one when you think about it, because the Bible is a record of unholy people used by God to do amazing things. Almost every person in both Testaments, with the exception of Jesus, of course, has near fatal flaws, from Moses the murderer, to Samson the rule breaker, David the adulterer, Peter the denier. If you think you're not holy enough, you're in good company. If we allow ourselves to tell and believe these lies, they create one of the greatest hurdles to discovering our callings: shame. If we believe the lie that we aren't holy enough, that we're not good enough, we avoid the calling. We avoid the calling that you must be holy because he is holy. So you, I, we are all called towards holiness. Say that one more time. We are all called towards holiness. And we cannot do it alone. We are simply not, and we cannot be holy on our own, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to step away from sin and to overcome it. John 14, 26, Jesus says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's incredibly good news for someone who can be forgetful at times and get caught up in things. The Holy Spirit works within us and through us and will remind us of what the Lord says and what he wants for us. That is such assurance. We don't have to do it alone. We can rely on God. We can rely on the Holy Spirit working in us to free us from sin, to free us from shame, and that we might be sanctified. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be sanctified. May God himself sanctify you through and through. Sanctification. Sanctification is a church word. And sometimes we find that lots of you know what that means. Some of you might not. So sanctification, to be sanctified. Simply put, it means to become more and more like Jesus. So to be sanctified is to become more and more like Jesus. It's growing in Christ-likeness in thought, in word, in deed. Thought, word, and action. It's important stuff, this pursuit of holiness. And it also sounds like a pretty tall order to be holy in pursuit of holiness. I don't often find many people who walk around and they're like, I am holy. It's a tall order to be holy. But we can do it. We can do it with the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through our response to the Lord. Through our response to the example that Jesus gives us, we can do it. We can live a life that's different. We can live a life that is set apart in all the right ways. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul advises, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. That's not advice from me as the pastor standing here this morning teaching. That is truth from Scripture. Don't copy the behaviors or the customs of this world. And yet, every one of us has the reality that we're going to interact with the world every single day. You're going to walk out into the lobby and you're going to interact with the world. You're going to leave here today and you're going to interact with the world, with the people in the world. And it is how we respond to this whole variety of things in our lives that can really impact our journey towards Christlikeness. It's how we interact and respond to lots of things that really can define our calling and response to be holy. How we respond, it really matters. Think about for just a minute, think about and reflect how you respond to a variety of things. Some of you might be thinking like, oh, that thing, that person, that interaction, that emotion. How we respond to all sorts of things, good and bad, it matters. This morning, we're just going to think about how we respond to our emotions, how we respond to other people around you, and how we respond to the Lord. So back to that stressful Monday that I'd probably rather forget. Did I get it all right? No, I did not. Did I feel frustrated? Did I feel angry? I did. Was I worried? Indeed, I'm sometimes known for my ability to worry. Did I need to ask for forgiveness on a few things? Yes. Did I do my best to surrender things to the Lord and be reminded that I am not in control? Absolutely. I'm human. So suffice it to say that I felt this variety of emotions that day, and I was very aware of my humanness. So the Bible does not necessarily state that we should not experience these kinds of tough emotions. God created each of us with our emotions. Our emotions really, truly are part of what shows that we are actually human. It's really, really important, however, to deal with them, to express emotions and to respond to them in a healthy way, to get support when we need it, so that they don't take control. Handling emotions can be tough. It can require a lot of prayer, self-care, can require a lot of intentionality in how we respond when those emotions start to bubble inside. Scripture does have a lot to say about how we handle and respond to our emotions. Take anger, for example. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're instructed, don't sin by letting anger gain control of you. It doesn't say don't ever be angry. Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Proverbs 14, verse 17, warns that those who are quick-tempered do foolish things, along with a variety of other passages that warn us about being quick to anger. Acting out of anger can lead to all sorts of poor decisions that can be hurtful to our loved ones and our friends. It can be hurtful to ourselves. But don't miss this. In Psalm 145, verse 8, we're reminded that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. In our own journey towards Christ-likeness, it's important that we guard against the fiery tempers, the quick response to get really mad, because King Jesus is and calls us to the exact opposite. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. We can rely on him. We can lift our thoughts, our hearts, when they feel heavy and burdened or fiery and mad. We can lift that to him. We can pray that we might be softened and filled with grace and compassion like him. We can choose to respond to anger even with grace and compassion. Even when we're angry, even when we face the things that trigger those emotions in us the most, we can respond to our anger and still be in pursuit of holiness. So what about worry or anxiety or fear? Worry, anxiety, fear, they can be really, really tough emotions to face. And we humans do all sorts of weird things when we are filled with worry and anxiety. Again, worry, anxiety, fear, they're all really normal human emotions. They are normal human emotions. To experience them is quite normal. However, when we do, it's critical to work through it. It's critical to work through these tough emotions as we experience them so that they don't take control. In times of uncertainty and worry, fear, we can find peace. We can know that he's always near. And in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we're instructed, we're invited to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's the NIV, the New International Version Translation. If you look at the NLT or any of the other ones, some of the words, you'll find different ways of saying that verse, and they can be helpful to read through lots of them. I'd encourage you all, pick up your favorite translation and check out what it says there. Carry that with you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We can trust the Lord with our needs, and we can surrender our worry to him. And we also have our part. When we experience this kind of emotion, we can be humble and we can let other Christ followers, let other people who care about us, support us. We can seek guidance, we can seek help and counsel so that those emotions don't take control in the way that we respond to the world. We can reach out to loved ones and we can be assured that even in dark times, we can do our very best to choose healthy and loving responses in the face of these tough emotional experiences. So what about responding to others? Because responding to other people can sometimes be a little bit tricky. It can be a little bit hard. Even in one of the earliest churches, the Church of the Colossians, people were reminded in a letter from the Apostle Paul that we have to bear with people, that sometimes the holy response can take a bit of work. It's really important to Jesus, and therefore it should be important to us. It's a marker of holiness, this business of how we respond to others. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Whenever I read that verse, I have this image of this choice to put on, to really clothe myself in these characteristics and strive to show them to other people. So to bear with each other means that we must be tolerant of one another. It means we must be patient with each other. It means that it might take work and intention to respond to other with these characteristics. But it's an essential part of loving one another. And as part of our journey towards holiness, we have to remember that our love for God must translate to loving others. Our love for God must translate to us loving others. It sounds pretty simple, right? And it is when we like the people we're with, when we agree with them, when we're the same, or we're choosing the company that we're in. But what happens when we don't? How can we stay on a path towards holiness when we don't necessarily like the people that we're interacting with, or when we can't choose them? Scott McKnight is an author that I like to read from, and in his book, One Life, he says this: "Jesus was urging his followers to follow the way of God. If God cares for all, so ought we do the same. If God loves all, so should God's followers, even enemies." It can be tough stuff when you can't choose the company you're in, when someone grumbles at you at an already stressful appointment for seemingly no apparent reason, when you don't find your neighbor necessarily easy to like, let alone love, when your coworker says something that really strikes a nerve, or when your household is filled with the unbridled energy of a toddler and friends, or the heightening drama of teenagers, and you're already pretty worn out and tired. Interacting with people can feel hard sometimes. So then what? We're called to love. As God's chosen and holy people, holy and dearly loved, we are called to be compassionate and kind, humble, gentle, patient, and forgiving, just like the Father is for each one of us. And if you're anything like me, you can be tough to love some days and you require lots of forgiving. As we seek to be more and more like Jesus in the pursuit of holiness, we can learn from his most perfect example. We can model his style of love, not only in word, but in action, and really in our way of doing life. We can be predictably safe, predictably gentle, loving, and peaceful people. We can seek to build up and encourage others who are in the valley. Because one thing that I have learned is that there is often someone deep in the valley, sitting right next to you, and you might not know it. So we can encourage, we can build up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 gives us some guidance to therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So keep going, keep encouraging, keep building up. Because sometimes life feels tough. We're called to be encouraging with our words. We're called to be supportive in our actions as we respond to the people around us. We can choose to respond to all others in a Christ-like way. And when we come up against those differences or a difficult relationship, we can work to reconcile things to find peace. We're called to respond like he would. We're called to be his holy people. It is our interactions with others and the world around us. It's there within those things that we have the opportunity to really be salty, to really shine. It's interactions with the world that we really live a life on mission with him. And don't miss this. It is our love, or lack thereof, that will really separate us from other people. So what about responding to the Lord? Jesus sets the most perfect example for us. Jesus is the perfect example. And we must accept that as Jesus' followers, we're representing him to the world. We're representing him to the world, and our lives can and should announce his rule and reign to the world. Our lives can be offered to him. This is how we're different. When we live for his purpose, standing out from the crowd, being different, being set apart for Jesus, it's our calling. And it's not just a single choice that you will make today or tomorrow, or maybe you made yesterday. It is a way of life. It's repeated choices, repeated behaviors, over and over again, choosing to respond to the world in a way that represents him. It isn't simply knowing scripture. It's not simply coming to church on Sunday morning, and don't hear what I'm not saying. Both of those things are important. But this is where we really get to walk the walk. It impacts our whole lives. It's listening to the Lord and responding. It's about choices that feel really big and really small at the same time. It is responding to the Lord when things feel exciting, and responding when we're in the mundane part of our everyday life. We get to respond to the Lord in our routines and in the chaos. This is where we have the chance to stand out from the crowd. It's where we have the chance to live in a way that seeks Jesus in all that we do and with all that we are. Consistent choices to say yes to Christ, no to flesh, no to the temptations that we experience. It's walking with obedience when the ways of the world feel a bit more fun, a bit more thrilling. It's being faithful to the Lord in times of the unknown and when you're standing in the yuck. Every day we have a chance to learn more about God, spending time reading the Bible, so that we can know his truth and learn of his holiness. If we don't get to know the Lord, it's very difficult to follow his example because you can't do what you don't know. Those are incredibly important things. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. We have this like amazing, incredible opportunity to really realize and actualize what he's done for us, what he's given to us. And the more that we know about Christ, the more that we can strive to be like him. It's that simple. We can spend time in prayer, surrendering ourselves to him, growing our relationship with him, seeking his perfect wisdom, really listening, and then responding. We can praise him in all things. Part of responding to the Lord also means that we engage in confession. And this is hard sometimes, to acknowledge our wrongdoings, to acknowledge when our responses missed the mark. And the other part of confession that's important is not only do we acknowledge our sins, our mistakes, and our wrongdoing, we then have to follow that with a turning from our ways. We confess our sins, we acknowledge them, and then we do our very best to stop doing them again. And it's with the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us that we can overcome. We can pray for his wisdom, guidance, and strength as you seek to really change and become more like him. We can pray for healing and that we might be holy. Let's watch. This morning before we go, we're going to engage in communion. There are stations at the front, there are stations at the back, and if you need help getting any of the elements, just raise your hand and an usher will come to you. If you're watching from home, I invite you now, grab bread or crackers, ginger ale, juice, whatever it is that you have with you, so that you can partake as well. The bread reminds us of Jesus and his body on the cross. Juice reminds us of the blood shed for us. And these elements, they help usher us into a time of reflection and remembrance for the great sacrifice that he's made for us. As you enter into this time of communion, express your deep gratitude that he would die for our sins. Remember the new covenant and that we live anew in him. We have a new way of thinking. We can have a new way of responding and living. Remember his work on the cross to save and deliver you. And as you engage in communion today, go before him, open your hearts, open your minds so that you can be fully honest and open about whatever it is that's going on for you right now, releasing things that might be holding you back or weighing you down. Offer up thanks for the incredible things that are happening in your life right now, for the work that he has done for you. If you're in a season where you might need guidance, seek it now, so that your next steps and your responses moving forward can be full of obedience and a reflection of his love for all the world to see. Offer up your thanks and praise. I'm going to pray for us right now, and when we're finished, the team's going to start to play. You're welcome to join in and come up front for communion as you're ready. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We offer up all of our thanks and praise to you. Thank you for your incredible work on the cross. Thank you that you would die for us so that we could be free. Thank you that you paid the ultimate price for our forgiveness. We remember you, Lord, and we seek you now. Lord, we surrender all of ourselves to you. Thank you for your most perfect example. Thank you for your call on our lives and that we can follow you in all we do. Thank you for your forgiveness when we get it wrong. God, we seek you now. We pray that we might be holy. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And as you're ready, you may come forward.